was glad to hear there a moment ago that Joel would be here next year. There's been a misunderstanding between me and him. He's not been returning my calls. I was preaching down in Florida, series out of the book of Numbers, and was preaching on Balaam's ass. And that afternoon I opened up the paper and there was a full page ad of Joel. I just felt like it fit right in with everything, and I just took it with me to the pulpit that night. And everybody's been assuming that I was likening Joel to Balaam's ass. That's not so. I'd have to apologize to that ass if I had done that. Because the mule reverenced God and knew God and stopped in the road and backed up and would not dare move. So maybe we clear that up next year. Well, thank the Lord. I have enjoyed these mornings together. It's been my honor and my privilege to be here together with you. And my Lord, what preaching we've heard. I tell you, I'm leery of preachers that don't ever get around preaching. Then at the same time, I'm leery of some preachers that only like to get around certain kind of preaching. But thank God for the word that's been preached and the truth that has been declared from this place. And I hope maybe in some way my little part has pointed you toward him. If so, he gets all the honor and the glory and the credit. And I do appreciate how the great hospitality that has been extended to us by this church. And I do not take that lightly. If you would, though, again, turn with me again this morning to John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. We have been trying to spend these mornings together in the vineyard. Been trying to magnify some abiding truths. The Lord has laid down in these verses some foundational truths. He declares unto us that He is the true vine. He is the source of the vineyard. He makes it plain that His Father is the husbandman. His Father is the sovereign of the vineyard. He mentions no words. He makes it plain that we are the branches. That is, we are the servants of the vineyard. No more, no less. Then He magnifies in these verses the fruit of the vineyard, which is the sweetness of the vineyard. We've tried to magnify some foundational truths, and then we considered some fatherly truths, and then on yesterday we tried to magnify some fixed truths. On this last morning together, I want to try to look at a few of the fruitful truths in this passage. And follow along with me again in your Bibles as I read God's good word. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And one last verse I'll read, verse 16. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And the Lord, for his name's sake, will bless his good word this day. On this last night with his disciples, our Lord is giving them these abiding truths, truths that will remain and truths that do and do continue. And he has been letting them know what they are to expect in the days ahead. But I'd have you notice with me this morning, he also lets them know what he expects from them. And he expects fruit from them. And he expects a lot of fruit from them. In fact, 8 times the number of a new beginning, he mentions this thought of fruit. But he not only tells them what he is expecting from them, he reveals unto them how it is they can bear it. He reveals how it is that they can be fruitful. I'm afraid this morning that most Baptists have become so preoccupied and so focused on picking fruit and harvesting fruit that we have forgotten how it is that we bear fruit, and we've forgotten those fixed laws that we tried to magnify yesterday that guarantee and bring forth fruit. And I remind you again this morning that the only fruit fit for wine, new wine, the wine of the Holy Ghost of God, is that which comes from a good vine, the true vine that is deeply, deeply rooted, and branches that are cooperating with the will of the husbandman. But quickly today, I want us to mention here some of these fruitful truths that our Lord reveals. And first of all, I want to say a word about the terms of fruitfulness that our Lord lays down. They are 3 simple terms for fruitfulness. There is that attachment to the vine that is necessary. The attachment to the vine. And there is no expectation. Did you hear me? There is no expectation for fruit apart from an attachment to the vine, to the true vine. And the Lord does not expect fruit out of lost folk. I don't know why in the world you and I would. Our Lord, when he looks upon those that are lost and undone, he does not see them as branches. He does not treat them as branches, and he expects no fruit. Oh my, that's a simple term of fruitfulness, that, oh my, there must though first be this attachment to the vine. Then there must be the adjustment of the husbandman. The adjustment of the husbandman. Hear me? There's no exemption. I'll not back up and preach it again this morning, but I'd remind you, every branch has his attention and every branch gets his adjustment. There are no exceptions. Every branch in the vine gets the adjustments of the husbandman. And I'd say to you this morning that even the pagan Babylonians knew more than a lot of church folk, more than a lot of preachers, more than a lot of Baptists know. Even those pagan Babylonians, when they were taking the people out of the land, it tells us in Jeremiah 32, 52 rather, that they left certain of the poor to be husbandmen and vine dressers. They knew they didn't need to leave those vineyards untended. They knew that the vineyards needed to be tended if there were to ever be grapes, if there were ever to be the fruit of the vine. And oh my, hear me this morning. It is necessary. It is a term of fruitfulness that there be the adjustments of the husbandman in your life if there's ever going to be fruit in your life. Then there's a third simple term, and that is the abiding in the vine that we spoke of yesterday. The abiding in the vine. And just like there are no expectation if there's not an attachment, and just like there is no exemption from the adjustments of the husbandman, there's no exception unless there's an abiding in the vine. There will be no fruit. Oh my, the terms of fruitfulness. There must be all of these. All of these are the terms he's laid down. Now listen, there's no secret formulas here. There's no special techniques here. There's really no secrets to the vine. There's really no secrets to fruitfulness. Our Lord's just laying it out to these boys as he's making his way out of the garden to be betrayed and then the next day to be hung on the cross to bleed and die for you and for me. No, he's just laying down the simple terms of fruitfulness. And there is no exemption and there is no exception to these simple principles. No shortcuts whatsoever. But now you see, we're so performance driven and we're so number driven. We're so leaf, if I could use that term. We're so leaf conscious. We're so leaf driven today that we've missed the simple terms of the fruitfulness of God. I mean, we look at some other church down the road and it looks like they've got more than we've got. So we figure, well, we must not be doing something they're doing. We need to start doing what it is they're doing. Oh my, we're performance driven instead of being person driven and person for God, the purpose driven life. Whoever come up with that, God didn't come up with that. It's to be the vine driven, it's the person driven life, if you please, the life of the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, instead of staying true to the true source, and instead of staying attached, instead of relying upon the source of the vineyard, we've run here and we've run there and everywhere. I remind you again this morning, one last time, of these terms of fruitfulness. I remind you one more time this week of the obligation. I remind you one more time, the command of God is not to produce fruit. You don't find it in this passage. You don't even find it in the Bible because it's not in there. We're called, commanded to abide in the vine. The fruit will take care of itself, and the husbandman and the vine will see to it that there is fruit. Oh my, you know, every time I pass that vineyard on the way out of the house every time I've been by, I've never once heard a groan. I've never once heard those branches, the vines over there straining. But I hear that a lot of times at church. I see that strain a lot of times on faces at church. You don't find that. You don't find that. You don't hear that. No, no, no. The branch just simply beats the branch and is content to be the fruit hanger the Lord has made them. And I thought about this again this morning for this past month or so. Since I've been trying to immerse myself in John 15, I've noticed grapevines where I never had seen them before, never had paid any attention to them before. And I've noticed that a lot of them are in yards of older houses. They've now become neglected. The houses have been sold, and nobody knew anything about grapes or vines. Of course, most of them don't even know how to speak English anyway, so I don't guess we ought to be surprised why they wouldn't know anything about grapes or vine or anything else. But I've noticed in a lot of old houses where maybe even an old trellis still stands, where an old grape arbor still stands, and the vine's been dug up, and maybe somebody dug them up, took them somewhere else, I don't know, but scattered all around, there are a lot of testimony, there are a lot of monuments to what used to be and the fruitfulness of yesterday, because the principles and the terms of fruitfulness have been neglected and have been denied. Oh, my. Even this morning, we better get back to the terms of fruitfulness. We better make sure we're attached in the vine. We better yield to the adjustment of the husband, of the father, and we better simply be certain that we're abiding in the vine. Otherwise, there'll be no fruit. And God may, Jesse, send you to a vineyard where the other man forsook the principles of the vine and the vineyard, and branch may be going here and branch may be going there. Just get in there and preach the good word of God. If the vine's there, it'll respond. If there any branches there, they will respond to the word of God. They are some fruitful, abiding truths in this passage. There are the terms of fruitfulness. Quickly though, let me say something about the tears of fruitfulness. Tears with an I, not an E-A-R-S, that drops from our eyes. They are three tears. They are three levels of fruitfulness that the Lord makes plain in this passage. There is fruit, there is more fruit, and there is much fruit in this passage that our Lord makes plain. Hear me this morning. It takes time and the training of the husbandman. It takes time and the abiding of the branches in the vine. It takes time and the training of the husband and the trust of the branches for a branch to be moved from one level to the next level. But don't miss this. A branch never goes from one level to the next by itself or overnight. Branches don't move themselves. And by the way, you can go up or you can go down. You may have fruit in your life this morning if you cooperate with Him and yield to Him and abide in Him. In time, He can bring more fruit to your life and much fruit to your life. Or you can be sitting here this morning and have much fruit in your life. But oh my, if you neglect the principles of the vine and the terms of fruitfulness, you could go in the other direction. They are tiers. They are levels of fruitfulness that the Lord makes plain in this passage. The branch that has fruit does not become a branch with more fruit or with much fruit without the terms of fruitfulness that we've already mentioned being applied and being received. Apart from that attention and apart from that adjustment and apart from that abiding that we've spoken of, it will not take place. Now, several people have had a lot to say about Freddie. That's God, if we get him saved, get in my church, you won't come take communion at my place, I guarantee you that. But they started the Waldensian Vineyard in 2000, he told me. He said, now for the first several years, he said, we really didn't even have fruit. And he said, we really weren't even expecting, even looking for fruit. He said in those first several years, there really was not an awful lot of really severe pruning or adjusting. Was letting those vines and their roots establish themselves, and we were getting the branches to go in the direction we desired for them to go. For those first several years, he said, that's how they operated. That's a lot more sense than a lot of Baptists I know that'll start a church and they'll expect fruit just overnight. It doesn't work that way. But he said, now that they are established, this thing of adjusting, this thing of training, it is an ongoing process. It is an ongoing process. See, to move from one level, to move from one tier to the next, there must be the discipline of the vine. There must be a yieldiness to the direction of the husbandman of the vineyard. And apart from that, that branch cannot move to the next level. It'll stay stuck where it's at. And if it stays stuck long enough, the pruning shears will eventually come and prune even that branch away. Now, get this, Freddie kept using a term, I knew not. Maybe you knew it already, but he kept talking about Cain's. Cain's. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking of a Cain. You're walking Cain. So I said, you're going to have to help my ignorance here. I said, what are you talking about Cain's? He said, you're probably calling them branches. He said, but we call them canes. We refer to them as canes. I said, tell me more. He said, the cane is really a part of the branch. It's the branch. You could use it as the branch. He said, that's probably what you used to call it. But he said, that cane is that smallest part of the vine that comes forth from the vine. It's small, it ain't even usually big, as big as my little finger. He said, it's that smallest part. He said, it's that weakest part. He said, it's that most tender part. And he said, it's that most trainable part. And he said, that's where the fruit hangs. He said, that's where the fruit goes. That's where fruit comes forth. He said, but it's those canes, he said, that's those small, tender, pliable, trainable parts of the branch, if you please. Oh my, I want to say, here's a saying that Paul's words were already getting up in my heart and getting up my soul when Paul said, when I am weak, then he is strong. Oh my, Paul's words were already getting up in my heart that, oh my, it's through our weakness that his strength is perfected. Amen. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. For there to be sweet fruit, and for there to be good wine that comes from the fruit, you got to have a strong vine and a weak branch to get sweet fruit and good wine. And we've got this whole blessed thing screwed up. We figure we got to be strong. We got to be strong. And on my, every time you and I go to focusing on being strong, the branch gets strong, the vine gets weak, if you please, and the grapes get sour. Yeah. More often than not, they look more like raisins than they do even grapes. Oh, my. Oh, my. Strong vine. Weak branch. Trainable branch, pliable branch, pliable canes, small, insignificant, even more so, not even really as large as that stem there of the microphone. Oh my, that's where the fruit comes. 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 Don't miss it now. The husbandman knows what it takes to get you, to get me, to the next level. Now, I'm not applying. Don't leave here saying I am. I'm not. I'm not applying. I'm not applying this morning that some folks are more saved than others. I'm not applying. No, 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 no. You're branch. You saved. You're branch. You in the vine. You in the vine. You in the vine. Oh my! But dear friends, I will not back up from it. The Lord talks about some branches that have fruit, some branches that have more fruit, and some branches that have much fruit. I want to tell you the same. The potential is in every branch to bring forth much fruit. The difference comes in the response to the discipline and the training of the husbandman. And he knows what my branch needs. He knows how to adjust my branch for my good and his glory. He always uses the right method at the right time. He always cuts back at the right time. He always cuts out the right thing. Never the wrong thing. But don't miss it this morning. They are tears of fruitfulness. There are levels of fruitfulness. And our good God, our good Father, the good husband, knows what it takes to get us from the one to the next in our hearts and in our lives. I love what old brother George Mueller said. He said, our Heavenly Father never takes away anything from His children unless He's got something better to give them. I'll tell you, the husband never cuts back. The husband never prunes back. The husband never takes away from the branch unless it's to bring forth something better for that branch in the end. Oh, my. But they are tears of fruitfulness. I mentioned that there's time involved in this thing. You don't go from no fruit to much fruit overnight. Hey, you see a place that calls themselves a church, and they go seemingly from no fruit to much fruit overnight. You better look a little bit careful, look a little bit closer. You're probably going to find more leaves than you're going to find fruit. It takes time to bear and to bring forth fruit. But see, we're impatient creatures. We want it now. But you know what I read? I read about the patience of the husbandman. James says this of him. James 5:7, he says, be patient therefore, brethren. Hey, let's apply it to James 15. Be patient therefore, branches, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter and the latter rain. Oh, my. By the way, patience is one of them fruits that He'll produce in our hearts and in our lives if we'll bow to the terms, if we'll cooperate with the husbandman. But there's another fruitful truth that I quickly want to note. That's what I want to call the testimony of fruitfulness. Look here in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. He attaches this thought of glorified, being glorified, to much fruit. It's not, are you listening? It's not that the husbandman is displeased with just fruit. It's not that the husbandman is displeased with more fruit. But it's that he is most pleased with much fruit. He gets the most glory. He gets the most praise. He gets the most honor when we're not just fruitful and more fruitful, but most fruitful in our lives. Oh, my, hear me this morning. That's the testimony of fruitfulness, that the vine and the father, the husbandman, get honor and get glory. Brother Jesse said it well a moment ago. Our chief end is to glorify. Our chief end is to glorify and magnify by God. In fact, John Piper said it better than I could. He said, God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in Him. Oh my, let's put it another way. He would have easily said, God is most glorified through me, oh my, when I'm most abiding in Him. Oh my, Him of this morning, you ought to give Him glory. You ought to give Him honor. Bear fruit in your heart and in your life. Show me a vineyard. You show me a bunch of leaves. And you'll hear people say, man, them pretty branches. You show me a vineyard, got a bunch of grapes hanging. You'll hear people say, man, that's a fruitful vine. The branches don't get noticed when there's fruit. When there's fruit, when there's fruit, then where's fruit? That's our blessed trouble. We more interested in leaves and everything else. Oh my, God help us. God help us to get to the place that we bring forth much fruit that God might be glorified and God might be honored. In fact, I say to you this morning, it's a great dishonor to the vine, and it's a great dishonor to the husbandman when you and I are not bringing forth fruit and more fruit and much fruit. Oh my, the testimony of fruitfulness. Oh my, it's been testified already today. It's been testified this week. And I realize, I realize you can't, in a sense, you can't detach, you can't dissect there the messenger from the message. But what I've heard over and over again, and I say amen, 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 it's been said better than I could say it anyway. What I've heard this week is, oh my, what truth, what truth, what truth, what truth. Why, my Lord, we've little branch. Hey, this little old branch from Burst County, it ain't even worth remembering. It ain't even worth talking about. But the fruit of the Holy Ghost of God is worth looking at. The fruit of the Holy Ghost of God magnifies my Lord and Savior. Amen. The testimony of fruitfulness. Now I wondered this morning what kind you got. In fact, I really don't want to think about it. But I must force myself to do it time and again and ask myself, what kind of testimony does Trinity have? You can go after leaves if you want to, but it's fruit He's after. And it's fruit that testifies to Him. But secondly, in this thought of the testimony of fruitfulness, He says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. It is through fruit and fruitfulness that we prove we're His. In fact, He said it that way. He said it that way over in Matthew. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Now, some people are trained good enough that they can take and look at a leaf and tell you from the leaf what kind of vine, what kind of tree, what kind of tree that is. I might could guess an apple tree or maybe a maple or maple oak, I don't know, but I just ain't got that much sense. But if you really want to have me be steadfast, dogmatic about whether or not an apple tree is an apple tree, show me an apple.
Right.
Show me an apple, and I'll say, or I'll side, here grows an apple tree.
Yeah.
You show me a peach, a tree. Don't come show me the leaves. I don't know that much. Now, I'll tell you, I know a lot of Baptists that evidently know an awful lot more about leaves than they do anything else, because they can look at this or they can look at that and that church and tell you everything.
Yeah, amazing.
I bless God could care less whether you're bearing an independent leaf or a southern bite. a Southern Baptist leaf. And if you're concerned about that, bless God, you got your eyes on leaves and not on fruit. Oh, if I'm really going to know what kind of tree it is, what kind of vine it is, I need to see some fruit. You know what a lost world needs to see? They don't need to see leaves. They need to see fruit. They need to see fruit. Fruit that remains. Fruit that abides. Now, some of you done left me, bless your heart. You just have to hang around and come back tonight. That's all right. That's all right. Oh, my. I'm talking about the testimony of fruitfulness. Oh, my. It's when you and I are bearing fruit that we reveal we belong to Him. That we reveal we love Him. Oh, my. Blessed be the name of God. Oh, my. And we need to pursue fruit that we might testify and reveal to a lost, dying world that we belong to Him. You know, it's really pretty plain that the Lord, I mean, in these last moments, this is some of the last words He shares, some of the last things He says. It seems that He's not really interested in that leaf stuff. He doesn't really care what that leaf looks like as long as there's true good fruit. If you want to dissect everything, I'm fully well aware that a grapevine and a grape branch has certain kind of leaves. I'm aware of all that, and I'm aware of all that stuff ties in together. But oh my, I want to tell you, one of the fruitful truths of the Lord is that it is the fruit that testifies. God Almighty. It is the fruit that testifies we belong to Him, amen, not the kind of branch or the leaves we hang out with. I'm soon going to be done. Some of you done wished I was. Let me say something about the types of fruitfulness. And I mean, really, just what is this fruit He's talking about anyway? What is this fruit that He's speaking of? Now, we normally have a kind of a narrow definition of it. When someone talks about bearing fruit, we normally think, well, talking about souls coming to Christ. Well, that's biblical. Paul viewed believers coming to the Lord. Paul viewed his converts as fruit. That's biblical. That's true. Nothing wrong with that. That's fruit. Yes, it is. Paul over in Titus 3. The prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 21. And I believe it's Jeremiah maybe 32, somewhere along in there. He speaks of the fruit of our doings. Sometimes the Bible likens our fruit to our works. We know, of course, probably more so, we speak of fruit, we think of fruit. We run to Galatians 5, that fruit of the Spirit, His fruit, and all that. But the truth is, when the Lord uses the word fruit here, He's talking about something far broader and all-encompassing of all that and much more. But I'm just going to mention two types because that's what's in the text. The fruit, and usually it's not even thought of, it's often not even viewed of as a fruit, but the fruit of answered prayer. The fruit of answered prayer. See, the truth is, fruit comes in many, many flavors, but the bottom line where the rubber meets the road is this, that fruit is just simply the life of the vine coming out. The life of the vine coming out, it manifests itself in different flavors, it manifests itself in different ways, but it's all the life of the vine coming out. Being manifest. And He mentions two specifically. In fact, He mentions this one twice. Must be important. Must wanted them to get it, knowing their world was about to come apart at the seams. He mentions in verse 7, and then again in verse 16, this thing of answered prayer. says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. To mention again, he says, oh my, that how he's chosen us. We've not chosen him. He's appointed us. He's ordained us that we go and bring forth what fruit? That your fruit should remain. Listen, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now he brought it up twice. It must be luscious fruit. It must be delectable fruit. It must be fruit that you'd want in your vineyard. It must be fruit you'd want to have hanging on your branch. This thing of answered prayer, it must be something that we ought to want to have hanging on our life and to be a part of our life. Oh my, the blessedness of the thought when the Lord said, it shall be done. It shall be given unto you. And I'm glad I don't have to waste my time talking about that crowd that talks to the devil and names it and claims it. But hear me, just because that crowd ain't got a lick of sense does not mean you and I need to back up from the promises of the Word of God. I know all about His will. I know it's right there applied in the thought of abiding in Him and His words abiding in us. But instead of backing up and being scared of the promise, get where you need to be with God so some fruit of answered prayer can come forth in your heart and in your life. Listen, he said, now fellas, I'm not going to talk much more to you hereafter. Prince of this world's coming. He's got a thing in me. He's sure some things he's gotten you and can do to you. He said you need to bear forth fruit, because when you do, it'll be done. When you do, it shall be given unto you. The fruit of answered prayer. Oh my, we've let that screwed up religious outfit so scare us that every time we quote the verse, we gotta be real quick to qualify. I ain't a qualifying thing, bless God, this morning. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, just ask, and it shall be done. Hey, that's fruit I'm interested in. That's fruit I'm interested in, the fruit of answered prayer. How about this one? I'm soon done. The fruit of joy. The fruit of joy. Now, I know Paul calls it a joy, but oh my, look how the Lord identifies it. By the way, notice how he begins verse 11. He said, these things. What things? These abiding truths. These foundational. These fatherly. These fixed. These fruitful truths. He said, I've told y'all of them. That my joy might remain in you. You want to know why he said my joy? Because fruits from the vine. Fruits from the vine. Fruits from the vine. My joy might remain in you. And then that your joy might be full. There's an abiding joy that he speaks of. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, he says that my joy might remain in you. Hey, he knew they'd need something more in the days ahead than some service on a Sunday morning, one of those services in a Bible conference on a Thursday morning. He knew that they would need something that would stick with them and would abide with them and would remain in them, that hell come hell or high water or whatever, the prince of the world threw at them, that the joy of the Lord would abide in them. But hey, it's better than that. It's not just abiding joy. It is abundant joy. He says that your joy might be full. Abundant joy. Abundant joy. Abundant joy. Hear me this morning. We have joy in the Lord. What is Nehemiah says? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh my, hallelujah, this morning. He bled and died. I thought. I didn't know In fact, I laid it aside. I really couldn't get it fit in. Of course, there's so much I ain't been able to get fit in these 4 mornings. But, oh, Lord, Brother Rick is preaching a moment ago there about the suffering of the Lord. I reminded what I read of Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, it's through the suffering of the vine that branches get birthed. It's through the suffering of the vine that a bud comes forth. It's through the suffering of the vine that, and the giving away of the life of the vine that there is a branch and that there is a fruit. Oh, my, blessed be the name of God. He came, lived, bled and died and suffered so our lives wouldn't have to be empty, so our lives wouldn't be empty branches, so our lives could be fruitful and we could be and bear and enjoy the fruit of God. Long when you've forgotten about me, long when you've forgotten about my little feeble attempt to preach John 15, there'll be abiding truths that will remain. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the high honor, for the high privilege to preach your truth. But God above it, God above it, God beyond it, is the high honor and privilege just to be in you, just to be in the vine, just to be a branch. Just to be a branch. Lord, I ain't fit for nothing but the burning and not rid of much of that. Lord, wouldn't make much of a fire. God, I'm glad in you. God, I'm glad through you. God, I'm glad because of you. There can be fruit. There can be more of it. There can be much of it if we'll heed and grasp the abiding principles of your word. Brother Allen.